Muchas gracias, misionero Miguel Bermúdez Marín.
Thank you very much, missionary Miguel Bermúdez Marín, and may God bless you greatly. And may he continue to give you much health and to continue to use you mightily in the work at the same time. You already sound better. And may God continue to restore your health. And I hope to be with you soon, already there in Venezuela, a people that we love with all our hearts. All the brethren here in Puerto Rico, and myself as well, we love you in divine love. And we desire the blessings upon all the Venezuelan people and upon all of us as well. A happy and prosperous year 2025 to everyone. A year that we desire to be the year of our transformation, and may it be the year in which He pours out all of His blessings that are contained in that year. We always wish that the year that we are about to enter be the year that God fulfills that promise. A happy birthday to our brother, Reverend Ezequiel Elizondo, whose birthday is today, and also to all those whose birthday is in this month. May God bless you greatly and use you greatly in the work at this end time. For today, Sunday, December 29 of this year, 2024, our subject is the content of the seventh seal. It was preached on June 2nd of 2002, here in Calle, Puerto Rico. He used the scripture of Revelation chapter 10 from 1 to 11, and also Revelation chapter 8 verse 1, and on which we will read the verse 5 and 6 from the 10th chapter of Revelation. And the angel, which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth, lifted up his hand to heaven, and sware by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven, and the things that therein are, and the earth, and the things that therein are, and the sea, and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer of redemption, he writes there. That is, the time of the dispensation of grace. In writings, in Bible studies, when we have put that scripture for him, there are places where he writes of the dispensation of grace and of the dispensation of grace. And in Revelation chapter 8, verse 1, and when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. The content of the seventh seal. You may please be seated. We will try to touch on some points for this subject, that is, the message, where we will be seeing there everything that God brought to us in this message, which the content is being seen today. In the message, the man who received the keys to the kingdom of God which was preached on November 8th of 2009 in Franca, Brazil, it tells us, now the seventh seal is opened in the sense of the fulfillment, and when it's being fulfilled, it is a mystery. Nobody knows, nobody understands well, except for some. and others, ellipsis there. I want to be one of those who understand, Brother William says. And who else? Each one of you as well. In the message, why it had to be shepherd. On the page 55, there our Brother Branham tells us, it says, but when Jesus comes someday, the great shepherd of the sheep from Pentecost, through Luther, through all the ages, that has accepted the light, as it come through the carriers, not accepted the carrier, accepted the light, see, went out. He will come to redeem. Above he writes, when Jesus comes, and an ellipsis, he'll come to redeem. I am so glad that I know he's coming again. Oh, would you be numbered with his group? Would you be numbered? There he draws a Star of David, a cornerstone and the ages, and an arrow like this around the Star of David. Let's see here. Now, in order to be numbered, the person must have been predestined. Because if he is not predestined, the person cannot be counted as one of that group or a part of that group. So that you can understand the arrows that he places there from the bottom part to the top part, and there is the Star of David. Now remember that that sign, that star, represents the ministries of Moses and Elijah. Would you be numbered? There's only one way to do it. Not by joining a church, but by being born into him. And all that the Father has given me will come to me. His circles will come to me there. And no man can come except my Father calls him. See? That's all there is to it. Accept it. He, ellipsis, that's the only Christmas gift that I know of, is the gift of God that he gave the world, his only begotten Son, and he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, the Word. See? Believe him in this day, the fullness of the Bible. And notice, in this message, looking beyond the sunset, our Brother William tells us there, it was preached on January 30 of 1994 here in Calle, Puerto Rico. It says, and that's how it is in the age of the cornerstone. The only ones who will realize and who will understand what is happening are those who will be in the age of the most holy place of the spiritual temple of the Lord Jesus Christ, meaning in the age of the cornerstone and dispensation of the kingdom. In a new dispensational day, come up hither to the age of the cornerstone, and I will show you the things that must be hereafter. It is through that call that the elect of God goes up to the age of the cornerstone. and will be able and can understand everything relevant to that age and to that dispensation. He cannot understand what the seventh seal is and the things contained in the seventh seal if he is not up in the age of the cornerstone. Now, look on page 515 of the Book of the Seals in English. It tells us, there's a writing there. Let's read this part here, where it starts by saying, now, there is so much could be said, and tonight, on the final closing night, as usually everybody is in a healing service, I find, under anticipations for great things to be done in the healing service, I find under anticipation for great things to be done in the healing service, which makes them attention nervous, and then I find the same thing tonight. There it is. He's going to preach the seventh seal. That everybody is under expectation of seeing how. There to the right he writes, nervous tension. And each night it has been that way for the opening of those seals. Now, I want to make this real clear. Every time that these seals have come to the place, everything that I ever believed on them and has read of other people has been contrary to what come to me in the room and my mind at this time. There on the left, he draws a Star of David and he writes, troubled mind. The reason I had that healing service this morning, because my human mind is becoming so away from my own way of thinking. Notice in that book, it must be in the blue one, in the other one, there is one where he writes that he was coming away from his own way of thinking. I have tried to stay it in a room with the shades pulled down. Humbertito, if you are hearing me, go to the office for a second, and the blue book of the seals is on top of the desk there. Bring it to me, please. There in the little room. Pardon me, I was receiving something there, and I took the books, because it is here. Perhaps I needed another moment. I thought that Brother Miguel was going to speak a little bit more, but I didn't want to keep you waiting. But look, the mind of Brother Branham, upon seeing the seventh seal, or to open the seventh seal, or let's say he was going to open the seventh seal, but he was not allowed. In other words, at that time, while he was receiving the revelation of the seals, the angel told him each seal. But at the seventh seal, He held him back and didn't tell him anything. He showed him as far as he had to show him. And he says that he had to put aside his own way of thinking. That is, everything that he humanly thought that it was, when the seventh seal comes along, he had to cast aside everything that he had thought, so that then God could then show him everything. Pardon me. Humbertito, the seals, this same one, but the seals, this is the one of the ages, forgive me. Now, notice. It is because there is a place where he says that we must put aside the carnal things, the human mind, so he can show you his coming and reveal it to you. In other words, to be in the age of the cornerstone and dispensation of the kingdom, you cannot come with human reasoning nor with human interpretations, but with a clean and clear mind, so that it is his direct revelation from him, not anyone else's. Now, look, on page 515, it continues there. I have tried to stay in a room with the shades pulled down and a light on. This is the eighth day, and not even got in my car to go anywhere. And there to the right, he writes, eighth day. Excuse me. Let's see here. Look, here it is, on page 515, what I told you at the bottom. He wrote like this, going upwards in 1, 2, 3, 4 lines. Everything is different than what, and below he continues, so do you don't continue writing upwards, but there in that margin, everything is different than what he believed before, and his mind is coming away from what, and above he writes his own way of thinking. In other words, everything was different than what he thought. And also here in this one, here he wrote eighth day. And here to the right, on 516, there on the right above, he draws a cornerstone, and inside he writes, eighth day. And he writes, seventh seal. I had to go with some brothers down to banks to sign some notes and things on money and stuff that had been borrowed for this church, but I come right straight back and went right to study. And to the left he writes upwards, alone. And a strange things, there hasn't been one person saying anything, or usually they're knocking and pulling and around. There hasn't been one thing. It's been pretty phenomenal.
Y
And then, this morning, I'll never forget this morning the grace of our Savior to His tired, weary servant. When I had answered a poor person's question and the best of my mind thinking that I'd done right, and all of the sudden, as if I had taken something away from a child, I was so condemned and I didn't know what it was. And I thought, maybe, being that I was present to get to that healing service, maybe somebody so desperately sick that had to be prayed for right then. And I asked the audience. In a few minutes, it was revealed. And somebody said, won't you read your text over? Or something? And that time, I picked up the little piece of paper and read it again. See what I said? Looked down on the books, and it was altogether different, the question I was answering, see? May I just pass this to you? When the supernatural comes in, that is the mind of Christ, you become so far away from your own thinking, till in your own mind, this, don't let me try to explain it, because I can't, see? I couldn't do it, there's nobody could do it. And there to the left he writes, the mind of Christ. The mind is the supernatural. He writes upwards into parts. The mind of Christ, the mind is the supernatural. In further on, he also speaks, but that is in a place here where he speaks of the mind of Christ in the chosen one, leaving human reasoning aside and allowing the Spirit of Christ to come in and show you. Now, he says there are things that he cannot explain, that it's further on in the Book of the Seals. Let's see. Because he tried to explain, that is one part where it says that he tried to explain, but right here in the seals, that part where it says that, tried to explain, but it happened so fast. That is in one place, and the other place, let's look at 516, there it also says, don't try to explain that of supernatural, you cannot do it, see, only thing is to do is just go right ahead, and I try to make myself clear as I can, but from henceforth, I think I'll never try it again. You'll just absolutely believe or not. And you'll see a little later why. There to the left, he writes, no explanation of the supernatural. Notice, you either believe or doubt, or don't believe. That is, you either believe or you don't believe. In the page 551, where he says that he couldn't decipher it. But let's continue further on here. We will see here. Now, it continues to say here in the message, the man who received the keys to the kingdom of David. And now, when the seventh seal begins, its beginning will be a complete mystery. But then at the end of the seventh seal, it will be opened to the public. In other words, it has a beginning and an end. Just as the first coming of the Lord had a beginning when he was born in Bethlehem of Judea, what was the beginning of the seventh seal of the first coming of the Lord like? A birth, the birth of Jesus, an end on Calvary's cross. Just as the first coming of the Lord had a beginning, being born in Bethlehem of Judea, after being conceived in the womb of Mary, and then had an end when he died on Calvary's cross. Remember that it is parallel in everything. And then he was already resurrected, glorified 3 days later. And a new stage has already begun. On page 548, there it tells us, below, to turn to the next page, it says, and in Sabino Canyon, he said, this is the third pool. There are three great things that goes with it, and one unfolded today, or yesterday, the other one unfolded today, and there is one thing that I cannot interpret, because it is in an unknown language. But I stand right there and looked right straight at it, and this is the third pool coming up, and the Holy Spirit of God. What is coming? The Holy Spirit, which he had said on page 134 from the book in Spanish, that the Holy Spirit would become incarnate. Oh my, that's the reason all heaven was silent. There he makes several writings, and look, on the left, half hour of silence. And there he writes, third pool equals produced the silence, in an unknown language, equals the thunders. The tent equals the third pool. And he also writes, he was standing there. Now, I better stop right here. I just feel checked not to say no more about it. Now, there, in that small paragraph, I better, on the left upwards, he writes, he saw him. Now, what did he see? He saw him. So, just remember, the seventh seal, the reason it was not opened, see, the reason it did not reveal it, no one should know about it. On the right, he writes, the seventh seal, and he draws a Star of David. And I want you to know, before I even knowed any word about it, that vision come years ago. You remember that? And there it is, just as this other has, slides right straight into the word exactly where it was. And God knows my heart. I never one time thought of such a thing as that. And here it was. It's later than we think. Oh my, that shows it's from God, for see, it fits exactly in the promises of God from the end of the message. What end of time message? The seventh seal. You notice now, for the end of time message, this seal, that is the seventh seal. After all, he has revealed all six seals, but he don't say nothing about the seventh. And the end time seal, when it starts, will be absolutely a total secret according to the Bible. Before knowing that, and remember, Revelation 10:1-7, chapter 10:1-7, at the end of the seventh angel's message, all mysteries of God would be known. We are at the end time, the opening of the seventh seal. And there he writes, second coming of Christ. Now, how did I know? The other day, last Sunday, a week ago today, when I was preaching on be humble, remember, God deals in little things. I didn't realize what I was really talking about. And now I see it. It is such a humble way. You would think that something like that would be revealed to the Vatican, and he writes to the Pope, but it comes, and he underlines and circles it comes, and he writes with Moses and Elijah, but it comes just like John the Baptist, it comes like the birth of our Lord in a stable. Glory to God, so help me, the hour is at hand, amen, we are here, oh my. Now, do you see it? He writes there on top as a question, do you see it? Now, Our brother William continues to say here, but the first coming of Christ in human flesh was a mystery to many people. It had a beginning and it had an end. That's what the seventh seal will be like, a beginning and an end. There on 540, it says, at the end of this seventh seal, and he writes, leftover time, Moses and Elijah. At the end of this seventh seal, notice, it's the end of the church age, it's the end of the seventh seal, it's the end of the trumpet. And at the bottom he writes, at the end of the seventh seal, it is the end of everything. And he also writes there, at the end of the half hour of silence. Remember that when he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for nearly half an hour. In the hour of his coming. Now, it's the end of the vials, and even end the ushering in of the millennium that's on the seventh seal. It's just like firing a rocket into the air, and that rocket explodes here, and it goes up and then explodes again. There he writes, Moses. In this one, let's see, because he also writes something here. There to the right, he writes, the Son of Man equals seventh seal. The Son of Man comes with his angels. The Son of Man equals seventh seal, fifth Elijah, second Moses, second Jesus. And it goes up and then explodes again. It puts five stars. One of those stars explodes and blows out five stars from it. And then one of them stars explodes and blows out five stars from it. And then it fades on out. See? It ends. That's what the seventh seal. It just ends the time for the world. It ends the time for this. It ends the time for that. It ends the time for this. It ends the time. Everything just ended up on that seventh seal. Now, how is he going to do it? That's what we don't know, isn't it? We don't know. It's even the time for all these things and the ushering in of the millennium. And he writes there, introduction. Now, our brother William continues to say, when it is opened to the public, it will have already been in fulfillment. It will have already its beginning. In other words, he will already be born and had his trajectory. Therefore, he would have had a trajectory to then be able to reach the end, of which on page 560 from the book of the seals in English, it tells us, page 560. Now, do you notice? On the opening of the seventh seal, it's also a threefold mystery. This one I have will speak and have spoken that this is the mystery of the seven thunders. The seven thunders in heaven will unfold this mystery. And the thunders in this message is the sign of the end, sir. It says that they were spoken on earth, not heaven. It will be right at the coming of Christ, because Christ said no one knew when he would return. Did you notice when The Jews asked him that? No. When we compare the scripture here with Matthew 24 with the six seals, the seventh seal was left out because, you see, Christ said only God himself knowed, not even the angels, no wonder. It wasn't even written, you see? They hushed. Nothing takes place then. Angels don't know it. Nobody knows when he's coming. But there will be a seven voices of these thunders that will reveal the great revelation at that time. And there he writes, the great revelation of the coming of the Lord. Upwards. The seventh seal is the mystery of the seven thunders. And he also writes there, half hour silence there on the top corner. Look at this one in the paragraph where it says, now do you notice on the opening of the seventh seal it is also a threefold mystery. Above there he writes Moses, Elijah, Jesus on page 481 from the book in Spanish in that paragraph. And above that paragraph, he writes the three purposes of the seventh seal. Remember that the third pool is for the bride, the foolish virgins, the sleeping virgins, and the world, which the Hebrew people are included there. So I believe to us who, page 561, so I believe to us who, if we don't know it, and if we, it won't be known until that time, but it will be revealed in that day, and he writes eighth day, in the hour, he writes zero, that is supposed to be revealed in. So the thing for us to do is to be reverent before God and serve him and do all that we know how to and live good Christian lives. At the bottom he writes there, in that space, not opened to the public, but it will be. To the right, he also writes, the seventh seal will be revealed to the public in the tent. Where would the seventh seal be revealed? In the fulfillment of the tenth vision, which is what is happening now, today, in present time. Not in the past. In the past, the seventh seal was not revealed. It wasn't opened. It wasn't made known what the seventh seal is and how God will be fulfilling it. It is in the tent. The seventh seal will be revealed to the public in the tent. And he writes, the seven thunders and the seventh seal. Now, our brother William continues to say here, you cannot reach the end of a road if you didn't begin that road. How can you reach the end of the road? You cannot say, I am on this road or I am coming to the end of that road. Like, for example, I am coming to the end of my journey in my earthly life. If you were not born and didn't begin an earthly life, you cannot reach to the end of the earthly life, and that is how the seventh seal is. It has a beginning, that is, a birth, and it has an end. Now, look in the book of Hebrews. I don't know if this book was ever printed. It contains chapters, Hebrews chapter 1 up to the 7th. And there are questions and answers of Hebrews. This one is good. No, it wasn't printed. You can find it later on. Now notice what it tells us here on page 386 at the bottom. A part of what I am going to read here is in the book of quotations. Let me see there, which corresponds to, I think it is 176. Maybe the version in here, it's a little different. This is from page 22. But here starts a little bit earlier. That is, I am going to read a bit earlier. It says, why, before Mount Transfiguration, at Mount Transfiguration, before Jesus went to Calvary, there stood both Moses and Elijah standing there talking to him. Certainly they did. They are not dead, and they had never died. They are mortal. They got to die. He's speaking about Moses and Elijah, about the ministries of Moses and Elijah. So they are just in a glorified state, waiting for that. And then, when they come back and preach exactly 3.5 years under the anointing of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, while the blessings is taken from the Gentiles, and the church is taken up, and the cold formal church is hunted down like dogs by the communist and Roman party, and when they are hunted down and killed, they are killed. These prophets preached 3.5 years, and the Bible said that they were killed in the great, in the street called spiritually Sodom and Egypt, where our Lord was crucified. That's back in Jerusalem. See? Back in Jerusalem, spiritually called Sodom and Egypt, and then laid on the street for 3 days and 3 nights. And then at the end of the 3.5 days, the spirit of life come into them and they rose up. They had to die like any other mortal. And notice, the only prophet who is alive, in whom God is operating those ministries, is the one who fulfills that scripture, that promise of Revelation 11. The rest left, and when they return, they will return in eternal and glorified bodies to never die again. They had to die like any other mortals. They had to do it. And when they killed these two preachers, that is, those ministries, they preached against wrong, and they brought fire out of heaven. Who did that? See? They brought plagues out of heaven and smote the earth as quick as and at any time they wanted to, and they brought fire out of heaven, and they stopped the heavens from raining as long as they wanted to. Who was that? Exactly, Moses and Elijah. And there's them, two witnesses. And when they tormented the church or the world by their preachings and receiving back the Jews, I believe we are already going into that paragraph there, and bringing them back to repentance, bringing them back to believe on. When they see Jesus coming for the bride, they will say, lo, this is our God who we waited on. That's Him. But He is not coming for them. He comes for His bride. And His bride, an ellipsis. When Joseph went to Egypt, he did not take his brethren with him, but he got his bride there, absolutely. But when he made himself known to his brethren, there was nobody present. That's exactly right. And when he makes himself known to these Jews, there'll be nobody but these Jews. There's them who killed Joseph standing there. And he said, well, I am Joseph, your brother. And he wept. And they said, now we know we're in for it, because we killed him. The same thing, those Jews will have that great time of trouble just before the coming now, of the persecution running them back into the homeland. It's showing them like a bunch of sheep back to Mount Carmel yonder, when the Lord Jesus shall come for his bride. And they will see him, they'll say, that's the one we've waited on. There he is. He will rise with healing in his wings. That's right. And there's where he writes in the book of quotations, in that portion, the Jews see Christ coming for the bride.
Y
And above that, he writes the tenth vision. And he also writes Moses and Elijah and their preachings, torment. Now, notice how he relates those ministries to the tenth vision, because we cannot disconnect the seventh seal and those ministries from the tent. He goes on to say, and the church, the remnant of the Jews, when they finally kill these two prophets and they lay in the street spiritually called Sodom and Egypt, where our Lord was crucified, they send gifts one to another, the world does. Now, Brother Palmer, here you are. Look back into the Roman history and you'll find out there is only one nation in all the world that ever sent gifts after battle, and that's the Roman Empire. Oh, because on page 385, the question that they ask Brother Branham, where are the gifts? What are the gifts to be sent regarding to the death of the two witnesses of Revelation 11? Oh, brother, and Brother Branham says, oh, Brother Palmer, if you can ask some questions. And there he makes another question. What is the gifts of Revelation 11? Now, the redemption, he says, now the redemption, this streak here, this scarlet streak, we see it means redemption. Now, in the seals, he says, on page 352 from the book in Spanish, he comes to redeem us, and he writes there, transform us, that is, in his coming. He continues on 388 from the book in Spanish. That's the reason I say that the Antichrist comes out of Rome. The beast comes out of Rome. It cannot come out of Moscow. It comes from Rome, the red dragon that stood at the woman to devour her child as soon as he was born. That devil, where was that devil? Who was it? Caesar Augustus, that sent forth and killed all the children from 2 years old and down. The red dragon, beast means power. The Roman power persecuted and tried to find that Christ child. And that's the same thing. Every time that the Romans, the old pagan Romans, used to have a great victory, they would send white stones and everything to one another as gifts like that, as memorials. So those stones, that was what it was a little gift sent between the Roman church. Absolutely, exactly, it's got to be. I stood right there in the Vatican City and verified it with the Bible. The Pope wearing a triple crown, and it said, Vicarius Filii Dei. All those things which I have heard, and so forth, it's absolutely the truth. A religious group that governs every nation under the heaven, and it does. There it is, it's so. Now, in the Book of the Seals, there he places the numerology of these words. That's 666, the number of the beast. If you can find it there, on page, the page of the seals. Oh, it's 206 from the Book of the Seals in English. But when this awful deceiving spirit, oh man, incarnated in incarnate spirit, this doctrine spirit become incarnated to take the place of Christ into a man, it must be worshipped, then turned to be worshipped like Christ. In other words, up over the Vatican, I've been right there, it's wrote Vicaris Filii Dei, and it's wrote in Roman numerals. Now, you just draw a line in the bottom of those Roman numerals, and it means, instead of the Son of God. He, in other words, he is a vicar. You know what a vicar is? Just take the place of something. He is the vicar instead of the Son of God. And the Bible said, let him that has the gift of wisdom count the numbers of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Now, you take Vicaris Filii Dei and draw a line with Roman numbers, the V for 5, the I for 1, and it adds up, and see if you haven't got the 666. And there we have the numbers there. The Bible said he would be sitting in the temple of God, worshipped like a God. When that little doctrine becomes incarnate, it becomes a vicar instead of the Son of God. See? Oh my, that awful deceiving spirit. If you want to read that, read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, and you can see where it's at. And of course, you'll remember Satan is the head of all political powers of every nation. How many knows that? You want to put it down? Matthew 4, 8. Satan took Jesus up to a high mountain, and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world that ever was or ever would be in the moment of time. Talk about a person. He said, I'll give them to you if you will worship me. And Jesus knew that he was going to fall heir to them. That's what they say. Why, you bunch of poor holy rollers? Why, we get the world. The meek shall inherit the earth. That's just Jesus said. See? Notice, Jesus knew he would fall heir to them. So he said, get thee hence, Satan, it's written, right back with the scripture again. You see, thou shalt worship the Lord and him only, see? Now, when he, as his head demon incarnate in this super religious man, as the Bible predicts, then he unites the church and state, both of his own power united together. Now, notice, what Brother Branham is talking about here in Question and Answers, Part 3 from the Book of Hebrews, page 388 from the book in Spanish, he goes on to say, nothing against Catholic people. No, sir. They are just as good as anybody else. But their religion is wrong according to this Bible. If this Bible is right, they are wrong. They can say, they don't. They say they don't. Ellipsis. It doesn't matter what the Bible says. It's what the church says. But we believe that the Bible speaks with supreme authority. Absolutely, it's God's word. So you see there, these stones that were sent there of revelation here is the stones that were gifts sent to one another, which only goes to show, the Bible said, the revelation here said, let him that has wisdom count the number of the beast, let him that has wisdom of so and so, let he that has the spirit of certain gifts do so and so. You see how short the church is? A young man. Now, look, let's see that portion there from what we are reading so that we have that base of what Brother Branham is speaking there. Revelation chapter 11, verse 7, it says, when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit, and we already know who the beast is, Rome, the Pope, shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them, and their dead bodies shall lie in the streets of the great city, which spiritually is come Sodom and Egypt, where also our God was crucified, and they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves, and they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them, and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt in the earth, and after 3 days and a half, the spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood up their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them, and they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither, and they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. That is one of the great earthquakes which marks the resurrection. That earthquake is the earthquake of Los Angeles, California. A young man asked me this morning about spiritual gifts, about speaking with tongues. A young fellow, very sincere. I believe that he's to be a minister some of these days. And about the church, I said, there is so much of it that's flesh. We don't want that, but we want the real thing. We long to have it. You cannot go to teach it in the church. The first thing you know, you get one's got a tongue, one got a psalm, and then you have to battle the thing out. But when God has given a gift sovereignly, it'll manifest itself. That's right. See? That's the gifts of God. That's what He sends to the church for overcoming. Now, the Antichrist has something like pro and con. Now, the Antichrist has something like a pro and con. It has the perverted way of doing it, and that's the Roman Empire, which sends gifts one to another, natural gifts. God sends spiritual gifts to overcomers. The Roman sends natural gifts one to another. Now notice how that end of the seventh seal is going to unfold there. Now, our brother William says, he continues to say, the first coming of Christ had a beginning and it had an end. And later he was glorified and entered into eternity already. Such is the seventh seal as well. Such is the second coming of Christ for Christianity as well, which will be the first coming for Judaism, because they didn't understand what the first coming of Christ was. On page 552 from the book of the seals in English, it tells us, now, when that gets on tape, which it is, that'll probably send 10,000 of my friends away from me, because they are going to say that Brother Branham is trying to put himself and make himself a servant or a prophet or something before God. Let me tell you, my brethren, this is an error. I am only telling you what I've seen and what has been told to me. And now you do whatever you want, because the person has free will. You must do what you wish to do. No one is being forced. I don't know what's going to take place. And there he writes Moses and Elijah, the veil of flesh. Let's see in this book. Here he writes, who will the seventh seal, the angel, be? As a question. Now, many important things were spoken there this morning. Now, look. I do not know. I just know that those seven thunders hold that mystery. The heaven was quiet. There he writes, silence for half an hour. Everybody understand? It may be time, it may be the hour now, that this great person that we're expecting to rise on the scene may arise on the scene. And there he writes, the angel of Jesus above rise on the scene, he writes, the angel of Jesus, and on the left, he writes, Moses and Elijah. Maybe this ministry that I tried to take people back to the Word has laid a foundation, and if it has, I'll be leaving you for good. There won't be two of us at the same time, and there to the right, he writes, another prophet is coming. And look, here, very small, he writes there, who could it be? And we already know who it is. See, if it is, and above he writes, the angel of Jesus, he will increase and I will decrease, I don't know, but I have been privileged by God to look and see. And on top of look and see, he writes in the tent, that is why I can ask you, do you know who he is? Of course you do, because in the tent you have seen and heard and received the one that he foreran. to look and see what it is. And he writes Moses, because it is a dispensational messenger. See, unfold to that much. See why we have to cast aside what we thought it was or how it was when the seventh seal is being opened. That is what he did. I had to put aside how I thought it was. Now, that is the truth, and I'm sure that you have noticed the things that's been happening this week. I'm sure you noticed the little Collins boy laying there, dying. The other night, that little leukemia girl, the kingdom of God is coming, and he writes dispensation of the kingdom. And it's becoming more from the negative to the positive. The seven ages with its angels. And in positive, he writes, the morning star, as it has been. Now, that oughtn't to choke people. One shouldn't stumble over the seventh seal. But there will always be people who would stumble. From justification to sanctification to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And then, here, see? And he writes, the coming of the Lord, the seventh seal. We're just drawing closer to God all the time. Now, to draw closer to God all the time is to get to know that seventh seal, to hear the seventh seal. It's getting closer and closer and closer and closer to God. Now, look, our brother William continues to say, that is why they are waiting for the Messiah. He's referring to the Hebrew people, and they will see him, but the church is also waiting for him. Christ, the angel of the covenant, the Holy Spirit has been with and in his church throughout these 2,000 years of the dispensation of grace. And remember that he said that the door of the dispensation of grace was going to close, and he told us that the door of the dispensation of grace was still open, but at some point it was going to be closed. Remember that he said, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Matthew chapter 28, verse 20. Now, look, in the book of the ages on page 324 from the book in English, in this one it is 367, which is the 324 from the book in English. He says there, what was in those thunders, no one knows, but we need to know. And it will take a prophet to get the revelation, because God has no other way of bringing out his scriptural revelation except by a prophet. The word always came by a prophet and always will. That this is the law of God is evident by even a casual search of Scripture. The unchanging God with unchanging ways invariably sent his prophet in every age where the people had strayed from divine order, and he writes there, the bride out of step. And to the left, he writes, unchanging God, the thunders, that's upwards. And he also writes a cornerstone and the ages. With both the theologians and the people having departed from the word, God always sent his servants to these people, but apart from the theologians, in order to correct false teachings and lead the people back to God. So we see the seventh age messenger coming, and he is a prophet. And below he writes, a prophet will reveal the thunders, the bride out of step. God has to send them a prophet, Moses and Elijah. He writes at the bottom. A prophet will reveal the thunders, the bride out of step. God has to send them a prophet, Moses and Elijah. There in a writing, on the back part, there's a part where he writes, the thunders, a colon will be revealed by a prophet, a colon. That's how God reveals His Word. The thunders will be revealed by a prophet. That is how God reveals His Word. And He also writes above, the rapturing faith, the latter teaching, or harvest rain. The rapturing faith, the latter teaching, or harvest rain. Now look, in this message, the law of repetition, it was preached on December 24 of 2010. Here in Calle, Puerto Rico, he says, I hope that in the fulfillment of the Great Tent Cathedral, the seventh seal will be opened. Meaning, because he knew, but he couldn't speak more clearly than what he could. Now he says, I hope that in the, and that was in 2010, I hope that in the fulfillment of the Great Tent Cathedral, the seventh seal will be opened. And if it's going to be opened, then it must have a prophet. Surely the Lord God will do nothing without first revealing His secrets unto His servants, the prophets. It is not by any human interpretation that the people are going to receive the rapturing revelation, the rapturing faith. The matter of the thunders and the third pool, all of that is going to be fulfilled there. Who will say the contrary? Because the seventh seal is going to be completely opened there. Where? In the tent. Now look, in the book of Quotations, on page 13, it tells us, at the beginning of this portion, it says, one of these days, I want to pitch that tent the Lord's going to give me right outside of this side of Chicago, here somewhere. Have about to 6 or 8 weeks of meeting. We're just going to write down the Bible and teach on those things. There he writes, the tent and the teaching. And just let divine healing rest. Go just about once or twice a week or something and just teach the Bible. Now, those things are not mythical. That's what many are waiting for it to be something mythical. It is something common, speaking the Word, because the third pool is speaking the Word. In contact with the Holy Spirit, so am I. I am a literate person. That's true, there is nothing to me. But when I come under His anointing, under His anointing, and He takes me away and shows me things, I just got perfect confidence that it's just exactly right, because it never failed, and He will never say one thing about what's written in this Bible. And there He draws a Star of David to the right. And He writes, it is written in the Bible. And above He writes, the tent. Now, let's go to another place. On page 31, let's see, page 31, verse or paragraph 260, He says there, and then, if I ever have tent meetings, which I am figuring on doing, the Lord willing, someday, then I will. Before I teach anything of these teachings, first will be a morning services with the pastors for several days, let them know what I'm fixing to teach, and then if that brother doesn't see and doesn't agree any brother, then let them take their congregation, say, now, I don't want you to hear this, we will just stay away while you're teaching that. See? And give them the privilege, because every person has free will. But remember that the rapturing faith is for the one who will be transformed. The one who isn't, he has free will to leave. he is not forced to be here. Now look what he wrote above, the tent and the teaching. And Brother William writes there, Brother Branham, speaking in English, and notice how he puts this here, which apparently doesn't have anything to do with it, but it does. He writes, Brother Branham, speaking in English to a young Mexican woman, and she heard in Spanish. These days we were talking about this. And notice something. When Brother Branham was put in that vision, when he was on that occasion of that Mexican woman, there was an interpreter there. But look, when he was placed in that vision, on that day of an activity, he was seeing and hearing everything that was happening there. And he said that the thunders were uttering their voices in an unknown language in the Book of the Seals. But look at how he tells and narrates what he heard from the woman who testified, and from the man as well, in their language. Now remember that there, at that time, there are all kinds of people. But since he was in the sixth dimension, everything is known there. Therefore, God allowed, notice, that he, despite knowing the English language, he was able to tell what he heard. Therefore, that shows that when that is happening, he was already in the sixth dimension. He listened to the woman's testimony. I've been like this for 20 years. How would we know if he wasn't supposed to understand that language? And he detailed it. I've been bedridden for over 20 years, and now I am healthy. The man on crutches too. The question that they ask those people, like, what happened in there? Also understood it, and it was written down. Now, we are going to be expecting all of that. Because, look, let's read something quickly here on page 389 from the book in English. There is a part here where it says, what difference does it make as long as you are baptized? If it is in a pool, and why Philip was baptized in a pool, when the eunuch was baptized, when Philip baptized the eunuch in the pool, the Holy Spirit raptured him so much that he caught Philip away, wasn't seen for 200 miles, caught him in the spirit, gave him a chariot right out of heaven for 200 miles. Amen. Wonderful. These are some of the fruits of the promised land. Even knowing languages that we don't know, there will be no problem at that time. We will take very good care of everyone who comes. It is like now there is a little gadget that you clip on and you activate there the phone there, or the application, and the person talks, and you hear it in the language that you said. In other words, science trying to supply for the human being or trying to imitate because they know. Notice that fourth dimension, well used. But notice, we are going to be experiencing all those blessings even while we are in these bodies. Transportation, language translation, and food that sustains our bodies for several days. I wish we could already be experiencing all of that in its fullness, but everything is always progressively. And there comes a time when you will realize, but I understood that person, and I don't know any Chinese or English at all. Wait, how long has it been since I've eaten? Don't start now to trying to find a way to. Everything will come in its due time. Something had happened to me on the trips. We got hungry. Sometimes we arrived to the place late at night because he always wanted to go. If we finished the activity, we went by car to the next place. And there were times when either he didn't eat, and then we all had to keep going. There were times when we would escape, Brother Miguel would escape, and me too, yes, we had to grab a chicken drumstick along the way, and we would eat a snack because there was no time. But there were times when we sometimes arrived, and the place where we were going and where we arrived, there was nothing because we either arrived unannounced and moved up the trip, or for another reason. And I would go there, Brother William, and I'm hungry. Didn't have anything on me at that time. And I remember several times I would go to him, I would knock, Brother William, I am hungry. And he would say to me, look, take the pillow, fold it up, put it under your stomach, lie down on your stomach, and your hunger will go away. And I, well, is that the food that he gave me now? Then I'm going to eat that food. I took the pillow, and I would lie down, face down, because hunger pain is a little bit bothersome, and I would lie down like that, and when I woke up, wait, but I woke up not hungry and strong. And I thought, well, that food is good, a pillow under the stomach. I repeat, don't go to do that now. There is food, and God has blessed us with meals. But I learned there. See? And then, I didn't have to knock the door again. If there's a case like that, I already knew. Time to eat pillow. See? He put it underneath, and I didn't have to go to him anymore because I already had that word which worked, so I would put it underneath, and the next day, well, I will devour anything I can find. Those were moments when there wasn't anything. It is not that it was always like that, and on one occasion or another, and we had to manage, and I managed. He gave me the solution. See, you have to find the way around it. But if you go to bed complaining, oh, this isn't, I'm not even eating or anything. No, you have to find a way around it. Notice how God helps in everything. So even in difficult times, God will always give you a way out, and don't get angry instead. Look, like Hope. God has given, God has taken away. Bless the name of the Lord and keep on going. And God will always provide for you. Now notice, also on page, let's see there, on 155. Look, sometimes I, or most most Sundays, the nerves in my stomach, and for years, Sari knows that I don't eat on Sundays, I only drink water. Not because I don't want to, it's because I am used to it already. And sometimes we spend the whole day, and in the evening, I finally eat something. And even since Saturday, my last meal perhaps was at 1 yesterday or 2, around 2. But after that, until the next day at 5 or in the afternoon today or 6. But God has helped me, and every individual is different. Now, there are others who even get cranky if they don't eat. Oh, Julian, no. Humbertito also has to eat because of his blood sugar, and many likewise. It's good to eat and have all three meals. God has provided us with food, and He has blessed us. And if there is snacks, they say that it's good to snack on something every 2 hours, whether it's seeds or something that helps the metabolism, and that way the person stays strong. So it's good to eat well, to keep this body well fed. But when one goes into the supernatural, then it is different. Now, since I was 22 years old, I've... Well, look, on 155, page 1387, there it tells us, Now, in doing this, I have come here for the purpose of teaching the last vials, last seven vials. Don't think that here they are, look, enjoying themselves here too. They can listen and see. Now look. Now, in doing this, I have come here for the purpose of teaching the last vials, last seven vials. Now, he writes there, 2002, and he writes, and the last seven trumpets and the last seven thunders of the book of Revelation, tying them together in this hour that we are now living, to follow the opening of the seven seals. And above there he writes, the seven trumpets, the seven vials, the seven thunders, and he writes, the teaching in the tent equals the seven thunders. And he also writes, the seven trumpets. Where is the teaching? In the tent. The teaching in the tent. Tying them together in this hour that we are now living, to follow the opening of the seven seals, the seven church ages. Above there he writes, a tent. So we couldn't get room to do it. So I hope that soon as I can, we can get a place sufficient for that, either here in Louisville, New Albany, or either to put up a tent so we can just stay as long as the Lord leads us to do. And there he writes to the right, 2002, and he writes, tent. On 12, let's look at 12a. These are some places where it tells us about the teaching, and where that teaching, where it will be. Look, on 12a, on paragraph 124, it says, I'd like to take a place sometime, the Lord willing, when the tent comes on the scene. And I believe that that's soon. Soon I'm going worldwide. I got a worldwide meetings coming now. And I'd like to get a place where I could sit down for about 6 weeks and just take these things and go through them. You see? Back and forth through the scripture. And above he writes, the tent and the teaching. Now, notice how God is fulfilling all of that. How that we go from scripture to scripture, from message to messages, going, coming, back and forth, showing the fulfillment of what He promised, and seeing the materialization of what he prophesied through the prophets. Now notice what he tells us there in that paragraph of the law of repetition. I hope that in the fulfillment of that great tenth cathedral, the seventh seal will be opened. The matter of if the thunders and the third pool, all of that is going to be fulfilled there, because the seventh seal is going to be completely opened there. Well, the greatest thing is the revelation, the miracles come after the word. The greatest thing is the revelation. Now, he had left us a writing there where he says, God transported Reverend William Branham to the future, and he saw something that was already being fulfilled for some time. That is how the matter of the 10th cathedral vision was established. What he was seeing there was something already established. In other words, it was already in operation. And he continues to say, that is how it will be, because it already was in the vision. It already was in the invisible world, and it has to be materialized. Today, you and I are the materialization of that vision, which is why we thank God that we are here in one of those activities before the one that he saw. Blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear the fulfillment of all that was spoken, that was prophesied by Reverend William Branham, which he saw in that vision. And he understood everything that was happening there. And today, we are understanding and comprehending as God opens our understanding and the scriptures to us so that we understand all the content of the seventh seal, everything that the seventh seal entails, which is the coming of the Lord, and in his message, his teaching, gives us the rapturing faith. The content of the seventh seal. We have seen briefly this way, a little bit of everything relevant to this subject. In this message, you will already be listening, and then in the next studies, we will continue speaking and expanding on everything related to the content of the seventh seal. Here it is. This is the one that I was saying this morning. The Messiah and the Judaism. He has this book marked all over. And that is where he writes several notes where he says, Saul was the first anointed king. David was the second anointed king. Solomon was the third one. And the Messiah will be the fourth anointed king. And here, also here in other places, he writes there that it will be. Let's see over here too. I don't know if this one. There are plenty of things written here by him. Here in this one, look, he says, here he writes on the side, Messiah will be a man born of a man and a woman. He also had one there where he wrote, Messiah, Ben-Joseph. Let's continue. Later, we can continue talking about all of this, about the name, which God has already been opening that picture for us in the morning one. Something was opened there also. But notice, God is progressively giving us all that we need to obtain for the blessing that each of us desires, which is our transformation, the content of the seventh seal. Let's stand up and let's have this subject already. If there is anyone who would like to go to the bathroom or to drink water or to stretch a bit, well, after the scripture you can take a short break with reverence because the subject is a little bit long. Or if you wish to go out now there for a short break too. There are some who maybe have to take some medicine or eat something because they have diabetes or something they might have. Well, we trust that God will strengthen them, and may He strengthen them more and more each time, and that when the time comes, they won't even have the need to go to the restroom. God is helping us, and He will continue to help us to start obtaining those fruits of the promised land. The content of the seventh seal. He has been our Lord this year, 2024. And in these days that we are left, He will continue to be our Lord, and He will continue to be our Lord in the year 2025, and all the days of our lives, He will continue to be my Lord, your Lord. He was Father back then, He was Son, and notice, in the dispensation of the kingdom, Holy Spirit. He made Him Lord. He made Him the Christ. And His name was Jesus. Today He has made Him the Anointed One. We can sing. I heard today a song of a young girl who sang that hymn was beautiful. You are my Lord. If it's ready there, you can come up and sing that hymn. You are my Lord. If the young girl can sing it, Elienai, the one who sang it, who sang that hymn, you are my Lord. He is and will always be our King. There, in our heart, you, Lord, are my King. You rule my life. You rule my whole being. As you have done this year, may I feel your presence in me more this coming year, Lord, and may you always guide my steps. Say it to Him. He said that before they call, I will hear. And while they are yet speaking, I will answer. Isaiah 65, around there. He knows your needs. You just need to cry out to Him. Call unto me, and I will answer you, and speak to you, and tell you things which you not know, but you have to cry out. Now notice, He knows our needs. Why? Because He is your Lord. He is my Lord. You are my Lord. You are my Lord. You are my God, my King, the Master of my being, omnipotent and faithful. Take what I am, take all of me, and do your will for your glory. My soul, spirit, and body I dedicate to you alone. And now I rest in your everlasting arm. I feel secure in you. Wherever you lead me, I will follow you. Wherever you take me, I will be there. And whatever you tell me, that is what I will do. Serving you is my life, O God. Let me reach to the end. Yes, Lord. He said in Luke 11:11, if a son shall ask bread of any of you, that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? You are my Lord. My soul, spirit, and body, yes, Lord, all of my being to you, I dedicate to you alone. And now I rest in your everlasting arm. I feel secure in you. Wherever you lead me, I will follow you. Wherever you take me, I will be there. And whatever you tell me, that is what I will do. Serving you is my life, O God. Let me reach the end. 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 Omnipotent and faithful. Whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, I will do it. Meaning everything. Nothing is impossible with God. We are in the time to speak the word. Speak it without fear. Confess without fear what you believe. remembered that He already knows what you need. For the prayer line, every person was standing there because they knew what they needed. And they said, if I go through that line and enter, I will be healed. Because something had to have moved those people to take that prayer card and stand in that line. Something moved them. Today, He is moving His bride to face her need and cry out to God for them. The greatest one of all, which He will give us, is our transformation. Therefore, it is a promise, and He is faithful to fulfill it in every elect. The content of the seventh seal. Notice everything that the seventh seal contains is for us. May God bless you. May God keep you. And may He always help you. Here in Puerto Rico, in this congregation of Calle, Puerto Rico, may He keep you united in one mind, and may He lead us all to reach that goal of the transformation. And you who are seeing and hearing me in all the other countries as well, it is a promise that it's contained in the seventh seal. And He is faithful to fulfill that promise, the content of the seventh seal. Look, in John chapter 17, verse 1, it says, these words spake Jesus, and lifted up His eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son also may glorify Thee, as Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him. And this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom Thou hast sent. I have glorified Thee on earth. I have finished the work which Thou gavest Me to do. And now, O Father, glorify Thou Me with Thine own self, with the glory which I had with Thee before the world was. I have manifested Thy name unto the men which Thou givest Me out of the world. Thine were Mine, and Thou gavest them Me, and they have kept Thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever Thou hast given Me are of Thee, for I have given unto them the words which Thou gavest Me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out of Thee. And they have believed that Thou didst send Me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which Thou gavest Me. For they are Thine, and all Mine are Thine, and Thine are Mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to Thee, Holy Father. Keep Thou Thine own name, those whom Thou hast given Me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Though gavest me, I have kept them, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sake I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for this alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may be known that thou hast sent me, and hast loved me, as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and this have known, that thou hast sent me, and I have declared unto them thy name, and I will declare it, that the Lord wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Amen. God keep you. God bless you. And may love, the divine love in this third pool, reign in your heart. That is the great victory in divine love. The content of the seventh seal. Let's have the subject for this occasion. For this reason, we will leave with us right away our dear brother and friend, Dr. William Soto Santiago.